There's another subtitle to this, The Sheep and the Shepherd. It's called A Letter to the Saints from Christ our Lord. We'll look into this and these thoughts that we want to share with you today. They are precious to the saints of God. And these thoughts come from such few scriptures, one would hardly realize the instructions that are contained therein. These thoughts and their hidden meanings are found in only 6 verses in the 23rd Psalm. To show you the depth of meaning in this 23rd Psalm, we'll only have time to cover one verse. Today it will be verse number 1. Nevertheless, turn with me, if you will, to the 23rd Psalm, and we shall read all 6 verses in order to set the background for our lesson today. Incidentally, the 23rd Psalm has probably been cited at more funerals than any other scripture. All our readings today will be from the New American Standard Translation, unless otherwise noted. We quote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In these scriptures, we can also see a picture of our elder brother Jesus. However, today we'll focus on the heart of David as he penned these words. These are soul-searching, penetrating statements made by its author, David. Later in his life, David was to be known as the Shepherd King. In the statement, "The Lord is my shepherd," David was referring to Jehovah, the God of Israel. This statement is confirmed by the Gospel of John in chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, and we quote, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, and the life God gave up was that of his dear son. In becoming flesh, Jesus, in order to fulfill the Father's will, referred to himself as the good shepherd. More often than not, mankind has a view of Jesus that is too cramped, too restrictive, in other words, too human. Therefore, man is unwilling to allow him, Christ, to have authority or control, much less outright ownership of their lives. However, if we realize and know deep in our hearts who and what he really is, then our outlook will begin to change, and we will want him in complete control of our lives. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1 and really see the superiority of Christ, verses 12 through 16. It says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, all things created both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him." And we might add in verse 27, "to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we pause to reflect on the person of Christ, on his power, his love, and upon his achievements, suddenly, like David, we will be glad to state proudly, "The Lord, he is my shepherd." These beautiful relationships, which are given to us repeatedly in the New Testament, between God and man, are of those of a father to his children and a shepherd to his sheep. In John chapter 10, verse 2, we read, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth forth before them, and the sheep follow him, but they know his voice." And to think that these concepts were first conceived in the Creator's mind, and then brought to a workable solution in the personage of Jesus Christ. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's enough to make you sink to your knees and give thanks to the Eternal One who is from everlasting to everlasting. To think that this lump of clay, which was shaped into the form of a man, is the cherished object of divine intelligence. It's breathtaking. In the psalm, David is speaking from the standpoint of the sheep. After you read and fully understand the 23rd psalm, it's not hard to understand God's statement that David was a man after his own heart. Too often, we focus on the bad side of a person's behavior and not on the good. Cultivate the lesson from God, in which the scripture states that man looks on the outward man, but God looks on the heart. David in his life had experienced the goodness and mercy from God's hand. Therefore, in the psalm, he proudly and loudly says, "Look who my shepherd is, my owner, my manager, the Lord is." As a boy, David had firsthand experiences in the management of sheep. He had seen that some men were gentle and kind and intelligent and selfless in their devotion to their stock. But on the other hand, another man would let his sheep struggle, starve, and suffer endless hardships. Yet if they were placed in another's care, they would flourish and thrive contentedly. So if the Lord is to be our shepherd, we should know something of his character and his ability. Have you ever gone out on a star-filled night and searched for the Big Dipper or Orion or the planet Venus? Have you considered that this temporary home that we live on called Earth is just a speck in our galaxy? And that is just a speck in all of the vast universe itself. Have you ever wondered how he could have scattered all of those planets and stars across the vast universe by his hand? Have you ever seen a baby born? Or to smell one of a thousand flowers that are splashed with unmatchable color? Yes. He, the Christ, the Son of the living God, brought all of this into being. From the most gigantic galaxy to the most minute microbe, all function flawlessly in accordance with divine laws of order, which are utterly beyond the mind of mortal man to master. In the 38th chapter of Job, this point is driven home very strongly by Jehovah. As he answers Job, verse 3, he says to him, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer me, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations fastened thereof? Or who laid this cornerstone? What better one to have as our shepherd and our master than our Lord Jesus? We belong to him simply because he chose you and I as the objects of his affection. Men and women down through the years have made deliberate attempts to deny that a relationship such as this could even exist at all. But even though they have strayed from his loving care, he made the first attempt to bring them back to his love and protection. Christ demonstrated at Calvary the deep desire of his heart to have man come under his benevolent care. He absorbed the penalty of Father Adam's sin as he suffered horribly to die on the cross. A perfect man for a perfect man. Justice was paid. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, we have the shadow of what was later to be fulfilled by our Lord. Isaiah 53, verse 3 through verse 12. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, brethren, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Yes. Yes, we have been bought with a price, the incredible price of his own laid down life and shed blood. As the shepherd in the field gives his life for the flock, so our dear Lord laid down his for us. It is by no accident the Lord has chosen to call us sheep. Sheep, we're like sheep. We have mob instincts, fears, timidity, stubbornness, stupidness, and perverse habits. Yet despite all of these adverse characteristics, Christ chooses us, buys us, calls us by name, and makes us his own delight. Yes, the good shepherd spares no blessing or care for the ones he loves. On the other hand, have you ever driven by a farm and looked through the fence to see sheep weak and infested with diseases and parasites? Chances are they would be staring through the fence, looking at the lush green pastures where the good shepherd would have his flock feeding. I'm sure if they had been able to speak, they would have said, "Oh, please release us from this prison house of death and set us free." This is a mental picture, which I'm sure will never leave your mind. It is a pathetic picture of people of the world over, begging to be released from their condition. They are a picture of the sheep under the management of the shepherd Satan. Yet, we know the picture doesn't stop there. For we know that the lost and ill-cared-for sheep will be redeemed. In the first chapter of Revelation, we'd like to read to you three verses which assures us of this fact. Verses 12, 17, and 18. And we quote, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, saying, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." In Matthew 16:24, Jesus made it clear when he said emphatically, "If any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You can't have it both ways. Either we belong to him or we don't. Our Lord warned us that there would come a day when many would say, "Lord, in your name we did wonderful things." But his comment will be that he never knew them as his own. It is a serious thing to ask yourself, do I really belong to him? Do I respond to his authority and acknowledge his ownership of me? Can you say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? If you can truly claim that statement, then the second half of that verse will truly follow, "I shall not want." The word "want" actually has a broader and deeper meaning than surface reading would warrant. To start with, we would say that it would be a sheep utterly satisfied with its owner, perfectly content with its lot in life. Are you content with your lot in life? Strong's number 2637 word rendering of the word "want" is as follows: to fail, bereave, and lack. David said because the Lord was his shepherd, that he would not want. He would never fail in the sense of being a failure. That is not to say we won't have down moments, because we will. But as the compass needle always returns to the north, so the child of God will always, always return to the Father. "Thou shalt not want" in any addition does not necessarily imply only material things. Contrast what David said to that of John in Revelation 3:17. He says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, naked." Based on the Bible's teachings, we can only conclude that David was not referring to material or physical property when he made that statement. In simple terms, David was stating, "I shall not lack for the expert care and management of my heavenly Father," contrary to the popular belief, "You can't have it both ways." By that, we direct your attention to a scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. These words come from our Lord Jesus as he delivered his Sermon on the Mount. He said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And we might add, whatever your mammon is. When all is said and done, the welfare of the flock is entirely dependent upon the management afforded them by their owner. As we were growing up as children, our parents did all they could for us. They provided, they instructed, and they loved us in their earthly way. How much more, then, brethren, the love of our Heavenly Father shows us, His children, how much more His strength and power, wisdom, and love. In the 103rd Psalm, we are told that God is a wonderful Father to all, starting with verse 8. It says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who love Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on those who love Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are dust. Unquote. I'm sure that we've all been exposed to people with great wealth and worldly success. Yet despite their dazzling outward show of having it made, so to speak, despite their affluence and prestige, many of these are poor in spirit, withered in soul, and unhappy in life. Why, you say, would they be unhappy? I'll tell you why. Because they are held in the iron grip and heartless ownership of the wrong master. They are no different in the spiritual sense than the man possessed with a demon in Matthew 9:32. And which Jesus cast out. In the restitution, all men will come to a knowledge of our Heavenly Father and have the iron grip of Satan, the bad shepherd, broken. In contrast to those who know not the Lord are those who daily strive to please Him, those who have given their all. It is evident when you come into their presence that you are surrounded by a deep, quiet, settled peace that is beautiful to behold. We've had that pleasure of knowing some of these little ones. They radiate a serene confidence and quiet joy that surmounts all the tragedies of their time. They are under God's care, and they know it. They have entrusted their lives and consecrated their time to Christ's control, and they have found contentment. But known, in spite of having such a wonderful master, some Christians are still not content. They're still not content with His control. When we come to the Lord in the beginning of our walk, we were intent on giving our all to Him. We put all on the altar of sacrifice. Oh, but alas, in time we begin to remove our sacrifice off of that altar. We want things to happen sooner, differently, as is common with all men. We feel that we are the better managers, and because of this attitude, some never get past the milk of the word. Neither will they grow in grace and knowledge. As with the sheep in the pasture, we must trust our shepherd implicitly. When we were children, did we not trust our parents? How much more then He who created us? Trust and obey. There is no other way, brethren. Turn with me to the Psalms 121. Psalms 121. And let's read all 8 verses. The sweet sentiment is found better in the King James in this case, verse 1. It says, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time and forevermore. Brethren, this is a sublime picture of the care given to those whose lives are under Christ's control. He knows all about your lives from morning to night. The word shepherd means one who tends, guards, and leads. What more fitting expression could be used for the one who loves us so? In his discourse on the Good Shepherd in the 10th chapter of John, Jesus explained the path his sheep must take in order to be associated with him. Verse 1, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Verse 7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. There's an interesting comment in this same chapter, starting with verse 16, we quote. And he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, so also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Who are these other sheep? The answer to this question, we feel, is found in the 35th chapter of Isaiah. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the araba will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. Verse 8. And a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who waits and walks away that way. And fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor any vicious beast go upon it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy and sorrow, and sighing will flee away. Our Heavenly Father and His Son want to help us and to guide us in all of life's affairs. Another factor in I shall not want is being secure and safe from harm. Back in John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Brethren, we have the Creator of the universe on our side. As Paul says in Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Many of these scriptures you know, but like the Apostle Peter, I feel compelled to bring them to your mind that you might be consoled. In closing, I'm reminded of a simple story that was told about a father and a son, and I feel the message the story conveys drives home the point of our thoughts to today. There was a little boy one time that was told to move this big stone out of the driveway of their house. And he struggled and he pushed and he tugged on it and he couldn't get it. And he went into the house and he said, "Father, I cannot move the stone. It's too heavy." And his father said, "Did you use all your strength?" And the little boy said, "Yes." And the father said, "No, you didn't. You didn't ask me." You see, brethren, Jesus said in John 15:16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain forever, that whosoever you shall ask in my Father, in my name, he may give it to you." Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen.